Mark chapter 10 and verse 13 of Mark chapter 10. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. That is both an encouragement and a warning for us, isn't it? It's an encouragement that the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, that Jesus is Lord, is accessible for everyone, whether old or young. We can grasp that point. And indeed, the Lord Jesus says that we're to encourage children to grasp that point. So we're going to be doing that this morning as part of our Sunday school prize giving. But also, it's a warning that the dependence and simplicity and trust of a child is an example to all of us. It's very easy in our culture to assume that simple things are beneath us. And that's not true, says Jesus. Quite the contrary. The dependence that we see on children is one that we must all exhibit. So we're going to learn that lesson this morning and continue our Sunday school prize giving together. And Chloe's going to read verses 14 to 23, and then Joanna's going to read verses 24 to 30.
Going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work, and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness."
Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You lazy, wicked servant. So you knew I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money in deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
And if we kept on reading what Matthew had to say about the Lord Jesus, and then just a page or two over, we would find that he stopped teaching his disciples, has been beaten up, nailed to a cross. He's taken the punishment for all the wrong that we do and our rebelling against God. And he's died and been raised again from the dead. That's what we'd see Matthew telling us Jesus has done. It's very exciting. It's very sad, actually, to know that he had to do that to bring us back to know God. But that's what Matthew says had to. But that's what Matthew records for us, And that's what Jesus said had to happen so that we could be forgiven people and look forward to the future. And the thing is, you see, here in chapter 25, he's getting everybody ready for his dying on a cross and being raised again from the dead and coming back to life. And as he gets them ready, he wants them to know something really, really important. He wants them to know that though he will go back to heaven, one day, someday, he's going to come back again. And can I tell you, we're still waiting. One day, someday, Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is going to come back from heaven and he's going to take all the brokenness of our world and say, enough, stop, no more bad things. Now come and tell me and give me an account of your life. No more bad things happening. I'm going to make everything new. One day, someday, Jesus says that's going to happen. And do you know what? Boys and girls and grown-ups as well, it's very clear in the Bible that that could be any time. We've been waiting a couple of thousand years, and it could be today. It really might be today that Jesus comes back and says, enough, stop, no more. It might be today. I really hope it's today. It would be wonderful if it was before lunch, and even better if it was before tonight. Because if you're a Christian, then it's really exciting. You're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth and everything being wonderful and no more tears. It might be today. But until he does come back, Jesus has this to say. Do you see it in the passage that we read? Let me just read it to you. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13. Just before where Chloe read. Therefore, says Jesus, because it might be someday, today, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. And his warning to keep watch doesn't mean that we're just to kind of sit back and wait and go, all right, then, well, Jesus is going to come back. I'm just going to wait for him to come. No. No, we're to use the things that he's given us for him. And to help us understand, he told his disciples a story. Now, look again with me at that passage that Chloe read, verse 14, and just follow it. And boys and girls, if you can't read, it's all right. I'm going to get you to come up and volunteer in a second, and we'll do something together. Again, says Jesus, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money or bags of gold. To another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Now, I noticed that Chloe was reading from a fractionally different version that we were reading to, and she said bags of gold. And some of us would be used to the word talent. Actually, when we think of talents, we think of talents as being things like, I'm good at football, I've got a talent for football. Steve, for example, has a talent for music. I think we would all agree that, wouldn't we? I hope we would, anyway. He hopes we would, at least. So that kind of way of understanding. But actually, Chloe was quite right. Talent meant a really large amount of money. In fact, as far as they were concerned, it was about the same amount of money as someone would be paid for 1,000 days work. So almost 3 years of work is the amount of money you'd get for 3 years work. It's a lot of money. And the man in Jesus' story gave some of these talents or large amounts of money to each of his 3 servants. Now, I need 3 volunteers to help me show what that looks like. So, 3 volunteers from some of the younger kids, from some of the younger ones, ideally. 3 volunteers. Anybody willing to volunteer? All you got to do is carry something for me. No? Anybody? I might just have to choose some volunteers in a moment. Yeah. Jesse, you willing to volunteer? Fantastic. Go on, come up. The only reason I'm staying up here is because I want everyone to see. Good girl, great. So you stand, there's 1 volunteer. I need another 2. Edward, come on up. Fantastic, great. I need 1 more volunteer. I need 1 more. Go on, 1 more. Just 1 more. 1 more. 1 more. Yay! Come on up. Well done, Isaac. Thank you. Okay, so you stand. You're a little bit bigger than the others, aren't you? Right. So, to the first one, he gave 5 talents. How strong are you feeling? Very strong? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Right. And listen carefully to this. I'll put it on the mic. I'm not going to tell you what's in here, but what do you think's in here?
Coins.
Coins. Do you reckon it's a bag of gold?
No.
I'm not going to tell you what's in here, but we're going to pretend that this is a talent, okay? A bag that's very... Hold out your hand. Right. No, you're going to need big hands, okay? Because you're going to get five of these, okay? So, one. It's not super heavy, but it's heavy enough, isn't it? Two. Three. Four. And five. Oh, no! Good and faithful servant. A servant, I was about to call you. Right. Can you hold those good and faithful servant? Thank you. Now, go and take them back to sit down just for a moment. I want you to look after those, Isaac. Don't open them, will you? Make a terrible mess. But just look after them for a minute. Just for a minute, because I need you to do something with them in a minute. Okay, you might like to find a better way to hold them. Now, Jess, you're a little bit littler. So, very sweet with this as well. So I'm going to give you two to hold. Is that okay? They're not super heavy, but they're heavy enough, aren't they? Okay, thank you. Can you go and sit down just for a minute? But Jess, hang on, I'm going to need you to do something with them in a minute as well. You look after that. Now, Edward, I'm going to give you the hardest task this morning, okay? But I think you can cope with the hardest task. I want you to look after just one. Is that okay? Now, you can go and sit down. Thank you. I'm going to call you back up to do something in just a minute. Right. So you're looking after one. Okay. So he gave them the talents. One, he gave five. I wonder if the servant's name was Isaac. One, he gave two. I wonder if the servant's name was Jess. And one, he gave one. I suspect the servant's name wasn't Edward, because that's an Anglo-Saxon name, I think. But it doesn't matter. You can be the servant Edward at the moment. Let's see what happened in the story. So, the first thing, Isaac... The man who had received five talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. Now, put his money to work meant that he did all sorts of stuff with it. It could mean that he built a big factory and from that factory got loads of people to work and made loads and loads of money. And we haven't really got time to do that this morning. And I'm not sure how many factories you're going to build with what's in the bag. But it does mean that he managed to get the money to work, and he doubled it. So, since we haven't got time, I do need you to do something else that requires some effort. I want you to go to the back, and Caleb, take the five talents with you, and Caleb at the back has something to give you. Okay, take those five with you. Good lad, okay. And for all of your effort and hard work of walking all the way to the back, you will find you are rewarded with five more talents. Great stuff. Thank you. Okay. Well done, Isaac. You can come and sit down just for a minute. Just sit down just for a minute. Okay. Now then, what does verse 17 say? So also, Jess, the one with two talents, gained two more. Now that means that what the one with two talents did was get people to work for her and do all sorts of stuff and gain some more money. But we haven't really got time to do that this morning. So what I want you to do, please, and maybe John could help you, I don't know. If you could work together and take those two talents all the way over to the back where Caleb is, and you will find that for your hard work, go that way, for your hard work, quickly, for your hard work, he rewards you with another two talents. Thank you. Don't throw them too hard. I don't know how tight the string is. Right. Thank you. You can come sit down. Great. Okay, so you've now got four talents. But what does verse 18 say? Let's just have a look at it together. The man who had received the one talent, whose name was Edward, went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now,
We're going to have trouble if we just dig here, so I brought a hole in the ground with me. Edward, I need you. Okay. And believe me when I say this is properly rotted compost. So, Edward. Can you dig holes? Can you dig holes, do you reckon? Pop. Well, I think you're going to want to dig a hole. Can you, if I hold that, can you dig a hole? It is properly rotted compost, so I have liberated some of our teeth. Go on, do it together, maybe. That's it. Now then, shall I pop that in? Bury it down, right. You're going to cover it over. I'll just show everybody what we're doing. Okay. Now, because it is money, we do want to cover it properly so no one can just happen along and find it. Great. Well done. That wasn't too difficult, was it? No. It wasn't. Thank you, Edward. You can go and sit down just for a minute. Right. So, the point is, Edward didn't do anything with his money. He didn't use it. He didn't build factories. He didn't get people to work for him. He didn't even design motors, Dad. He just kind of, because Dad does, see, he just buried it. Do you think that was an exciting thing to do with it? No, I don't either. He just buried it to keep it safe until his master returned. Now, the trouble is, it won't do to claim that the one with one talent, Edward, was the most responsible, because the other two obviously understood what they were supposed to do. He'd given it to them as something to be trusted, and they put it to work. So when the master returned, they were praised. Look at verse 20. The man who had received the five talents brought the five to his master and said, "You entrusted me with five talents. See, I've gained five more. Come on up, Isaac." How many do you have? 10. Do you want to put them down? Let's count them together. Ready? I gave you five. 1. Has he done well? Let's give him a big cheer. The master replied, says Jesus, "Well done, Isaac. No, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." That's great. You did really well. You managed to get another five. They carefully used what they'd been given, and they were rewarded with greater responsibility and a share in their master's joy. They acted as real servants, the bloke that got five. Thank you very much. You can sit down. That was terrific. Okay. Now then, Jess. Maybe ably assisted. I don't know. Let's move those. Jess, come up. Brilliant. Come round here so everyone can see. Good lass. Now then. Let's put it round here. How many did I give you? Do you remember?
Four.
No. Shh. How many did I give you at the start? Just two. So let's count them. I gave you 1, 2. How many have you got now? 3, 4. How many do you have?
4.
So how many? What? You've doubled it. So what does it say? Hang on. It says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful of a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Which means she's got 4. Yay! Thank you very much. That's brilliant. Okay, you can go and sit down. You've achieved a lot. You took what you've been given and you made it work and you gained more. That's brilliant. But look at verse 24. Edward, it's your turn. The last servant comes and dumps the talent before his master. Now, before we dump talents, we need to dig it up. So, okay, Edward, now's your big moment. There's actually a woodlice in there, I'm watching. I did say it was properly rotted compost. Well, where would you get it from if you've dug it from your garden? You know. Right, Edward, I need you to dig up the bag, please. This is your big moment. Fantastic. Give it a good shake. Right, just dump it there. Let's count it. Ready? Is there anything else? By burying it, shouldn't we have had lots of them growing up like a tree, do you think? That's it. It's just dumped. Right. Well, one. Edward, I think we've got to say thank you very much. And you can go and sit down. That was the hardest job this morning, I think. That was fantastic. But look at what the master says as the servant dumps the money down, all covered in earth. He says, "Master, I knew you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you." Do you know what he's saying to his master? He's saying something completely outrageous, actually. He's saying, if I had tried and succeeded, you'd have kept it all for yourself anyway. And if I had tried and failed, you'd have blamed me. So I'm not going to get anything out of this. Why should I bother? That's what he's saying. Because I don't love you and I don't trust you, I haven't bothered. Here it is. Can you imagine the scene? There's the other servants turning up and pouring out their bags and saying, "Look, master, we've worked really hard. We love you. We trust you. We know that you'd be pleased with us working hard. So we've taken what you've given us and we've got more." And then there's this other one who just comes and says, "Tough. I don't care. I don't love you and I'm not interested. You can have it back again." These three servants have been trusted with so much, and two of them absolutely get it. And they're supposed to be using however much they've been given to honour the one who gave it to them, so that when he comes back, they can give it back. But the one guy who didn't care, couldn't be bothered, really believed that he was serving, the one he was serving didn't deserve it. Look at what verse 26 says. The master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, did you? And gather where I have not scattered seed. Or why then didn't you at least give my money to the bankers and put it on deposit, so that when I returned I would have received it back with interest?" The truth is, you see, that the first two servants knew well that their master, that instead of being grasping and greedy, he was faithful and generous, and they proved it. But the last servant, the one with just one, didn't trust his master and he didn't care. And as a result, he didn't do his duty. He was serving. Do you know who he was serving? Do you know who the one with one was serving? I don't mean Edward. I mean the real one with one. Do you know who he was serving? He was serving himself. That's who he was serving. Just serving himself. And that's the point. Knowing that the Lord Jesus is going to return, he tells all of us to be ready. He tells all of us to be ready, serving him with what he's given us. And it may be that he's given us loads of money, in which case he wants us to use those loads of money to serve him. And it may be that he's given us only a little bit of money, in which case he expects us just to use the little bit of money to serve him. But although I said the word talent here means bag of gold, actually it applies to everything. It's not just about money, it's about everything. It's really a story about what's most important to us, of serving ourselves or serving Jesus. So boys and girls, knowing that Jesus loves us enough to die for us and has risen again from the dead and is one day going to come back, and it might be today, the challenge is for all of us, who's the most important one in our lives? So boys and girls, you've got the privilege of hearing about him in Sunday school, and the grown-ups get to hear about him here in church. So we can serve him by telling others about what we've learned. And whether it's loads or a little bit, then others will get to hear about it. That's one way to double the talents, if you like. In fact, he's given us the privilege in this country of loads of different things. And although I said at the start the word talent doesn't mean money, means money. It could just as well apply to other things, whether sport or maths or science or languages or cooking or whatever. Jesus has given us good things,
And he's saying, because I'm going to come back one day, use the good things you've been given, your abilities, your talents, your money, whatever, to serve me. Who's the most important one? That's the question that he's really asking his disciples. That's the point. And whether we're really good at loads of things or really good at, moderately good at only one thing, he's asking us to use what we have to serve him. And people might say, yeah, but Jesus is really generous. It's full of grace. He doesn't expect us to do anything. Actually, that's not true. He never condones irresponsibility. It takes courage and hard work and above all desire to learn to line his pockets rather than our own, to make Jesus rich, as it were, not us. So verse 28 is really challenging. Look at it. Take the talent from him who gave it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why is he condemned? Because he was just a servant of the master in name only. Some people say they love Jesus, but you can't tell that from how they behave. It's just words. They talk about Jesus and it's just words. They take what he's given them and they say, I'm not interested in you. And they kind of ignore it. It's a bit like dropping it in the dirt. They kind of bury it. So the real question is, not just is Jesus most important, but is trusting Jesus just words? Or do we mean it? Do we actually set him as the most important one in our lives? One day he's coming back. That's the point. He will return, and we need to be prepared and use what he's given us, because he'll ask us what we've done with it. It's not just words. He is Lord.